panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Soldier! swam across, I jumped across for you. Oh, what a thing to do. You were all yellow, I drew a line, I drew a line for you. Bleed myself dry. It's true. Look how we shine for you. Look how we shine for you. Look how we shine. Look how we shine. How they shine for you and all the things you do.
Three CR 855 AM, 3CR digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR on demand, out of the pan. With Sally, first broadcasting this program, noon through one, every Sunday afternoon, and starting at noon, today, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And, of course, this special is being repeated for Trans Day of Audibility, if you're listening to it then for the first time. And it is very, very good to be with you. 3CR's programs, including Out of the Pan, are broadcast from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in today. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronoun she and her, and welcome to a special program. I know there's lots of news and I've had emails, but I'm going to try and weave those into the theme of this program today, which is, as I say, it's also going to be rebroadcast for our special Trans Day of Audibility broadcast, which you may be listening to now, as well as on the usual Sunday slot, because I was struck by an amazing post from one of my friends and colleagues, who I'll introduce in a second, about 3 weeks ago, and I thought this would be a great thing to do on today's show and have a conversation about it. If you want to get your thoughts and comments in, and as we always like to say, queries on this show, out of the pan, 855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277 Collingwood. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. And if for those who are listening on Sunday, the program that goes live to air before us is Out of the Blue. Thanks to the crew from Out of the Blue, diving deep for the marine news, as they always do, talking sea shanties today. I think there's going to be, I'll just do a general content note for this because there are some topics that may come up. Nothing huge, I'd say low-level mentions, but if you need to contact QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, 1-800-184-527, Rainbow Door, 1-800-729-367. Opened up today with two tracks, Cold Chisel from Breakfast at Sweethearts and Conversations, and an amazing track by Dylan and the Moon, Dylan's version of Coldplay's Yellow,
which amazingly features Dylan, a trans man's vocals when the song was recorded some years ago when before the transition combined with vocals re-recorded now and the clip merged together. That came from YouTube and a couple of people sent that to me. And I just thought it was amazingly authentic and bold to play on a show that I want to have today, which I have called Tough Trans Conversations. And the person who is sitting opposite me is someone who I have only met in the last couple of years, and I'm very, very well pleased, and I'm going to say honoured to have him in the studio, Sam Dengate. Sam, well, welcome back to 3CR.
Thank you so much for having me, Sally, and I'm absolutely honoured myself to sit here in your presence, in your company, to have these conversations, because my respect and my love for the work that you do and who you are as a person exceedingly increases the more time that I spend with you. And I also wish to extend my respect and my acknowledgement of country here in all of the extended folks, First Nations folks across Naam that may be living today. Sovereignty was never ceded. Colonisation is ongoing. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
And although this is radio and you can't see it, your t-shirt says always was. And I did smile at that as we discussed that. So we hope it connects us to our First Nations listeners. Sam, you put up a post on Instagram, which I've put the link to in all the social media posts today, a few weeks ago, which was entitled, I Owe My Trans Elders an Apology, and I was deeply moved, empowered and energised by it. I'll do the overall thing first. What prompted you, or was there one thing, series of things, what had been the catalyst for writing such a deep, powerful, inspiring post about conversations we need to have?
I would say for me, this was an accumulation over a few years, a lot of in-person and online experiences as someone that has been visible within community for quite a while, but also feet on the ground, working directly with trans and gender diverse folks. And I would say that the growing tension between us as a community on the onslaught, it's a Sunday, let's all pull our words together here, Sam, good job. I would say it was the accumulating impact of experiences and community disagreement, pain, discussions, and all of us trying to live in a late capitalistic society with the increasing trans threat that is affecting every single one of us, from a personal, individual, hypervigilant-based level, to how we were navigating our interpersonal relationships with each other, how we were forming community, and the resistance at points to come together, when especially now when the powers that be very much so want to divide us. In a very local interpersonal sense, the individual frustrations in line with my own trans experience, I felt the need to create, to write, to reclaim my own thoughts, my own words. And as I am now pushing my 18th year of transition, I'm almost, I turned 17 a couple of weeks ago, which in itself is wild. 17 lived years experience as a trans person. And just, yeah, so many conversations with so many folks of all different varied trans experience of how do we survive? How do we come together? Mm. How do we tap into this collective legacy of resistance, of joy, of world building, of walking between so many different various intersections? And how do we alchemize the trauma and the pain of prejudice and oppression that we have experienced for so many years, and that all kind of pulled together in line with some of my own lived experience in a heartfelt expression or a letter of open love, I suppose, to my elders and my community.
Yeah. There's so many things in what you've already said, and I'm not that I was madly scribbling on my running sheet.
Two neurodivergent people just going to have a chat. That's, yeah, all bits and things here.
Yeah, this could go anywhere, listeners, and loving it. Mm-hmm. And what, neurodivergence in trans and queer communities? Who'd have thunk it? only about a 99.44% possibility, but
no idea what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. perhaps I'm going to start. Maybe the background will help here. Stop. What are the critical things for you in your own transition journey that have, you know, that came to mind in relation to this conversation? Because it's obvious that they have shaped your post and your deep thoughts. You know, what sort of things came to mind that you felt had perhaps led to the post and this, you know, apology to trans elders?
Having a lot of conversations with a lot of folks around my age. I sit in the elder millennial space for anyone that doesn't know, or I'm sitting about 36 now, and there are a few of us we're starting to get over probably our first decade of working within community and working to help the betterment of transgender diverse folks. And there is a few of us with weight of responsibility in our roles, and we were trying to find ways of longevity, ways to stay in this space, to stay in this fight, to stay in this community building space. And the resources, the accessibility we all had, we were all struggling as human beings, surrounded it with a lot of pain, ourselves included, and we were trying to work out how. And this took us on a journey of self-reflection, of our own histories, our own lived experiences, especially where our trans elders and our trans leaders over the years have tried to call us in, have tried to help us through human connection, through conversation, to learn the survivorhood wisdom that they had to share with us. And I know, speaking for myself, there were many, many years of anger, of pain, of frustration, of rage, of absolutely justified trans rage. But the way that that was building within my own body, within my own worldviews, within my own quality of life and the extended folks around us, there was the question then became, how do we move through? How do we survive this the trans rhetoric and the narrative of trans people that we are unable to self-determine our own futures, that we don't have resiliency, that we are to be infantized? We didn't believe that, and I don't believe that, and I still to this day don't. So the question then became, how do we move forward? And for me, to move forward was to look back, was to study our history, was to have many, many conversations, to get off screens with people that have been doing this work for a very, very long time. And by leaning into a journey of self-reflection over self-sabotage, over time was able to see where I personally had lent into criticism first over general critique, where I have contributed to pulling apart some of the strength, the resilience, some of the really good work over the years from my own maladaptive hypervigilance, my own pain coming through, and the being lovingly called in and held and being spoken to in a way that was not shaming, was not pushing each other away, that I was able to see that as trans people, we have brilliant, incredible capacity for love, joy, community, pulling people together. But inside our own pain, when the walls start to pull in, we too can lash out at the very people that are there trying to help, be our allies, help support, help create access, help lift us up from the learnt narratives of helplessness that are not our fault, that are a well-funded, systemic, massive campaign to move us off from the grace, joy, and incredible, just the word that I'm looking for, that there's almost no words to just to convey the power, the agency, the self-responsibility, self-determination that trans people have with inside us. And I wanted to find any way possible back to that. And there are so many times where in life we cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. You spend enough time on social media, you keep looking at the abyss of the negativity in the world. And I do not say that to not to be informed, because it's very, very important. But it's like, how can we alchemize all of this for the betterment of us all? And I think the beautiful intersectional lived experience and just that trans people do bring to the table is one of the most brilliant ace cards to help us step up as people moving forward.
Well, so much more in that as well. there was one other thing I wanted to go back from the first part of your conversation, and that was, you know, you said there were various points, conversations of people, and I can't remember if this was the exact words, sort of lashing out at each other or whatever.
Sweeping statement that one was, but yes.
Well, sweeping, but a reasonably well-bristled broom, so to speak. Now, I've seen it, but I'm sure
we've all seen it, and it's having that conversation for sure.
Yeah. And it's, as you say, you know, we're all probably done it at times. I'm going to use the word guilty, but I think that's a little unfair on all of us. I'm going to get you, if you can think of maybe one example, you know, obviously de-identified or something. At least one just that sticks in the craw, so to speak, and let's sort of analyze it and break it down.
There was an action a few years ago, and the phrase that I'm going to use is Grim Reaper. And content warning, especially for any folks that have lived experience within the HIV AIDS crisis, of course. There was a, I'm going to use the phrase, misinterpreted, misaligned, misconnected interpretation of this act that was, the intent was to re-radicalize and wake up community from a failing of the medical standpoint and the public safety protection standpoint in the fallout of the, well, not that we are a post-COVID world, so to speak, but the weaponization of an extreme point of community pain that did not come from within community. This was a weaponization of an external piece of iconography, a piece of marketing, a campaign, if you will, that was weaponized ignorantly against members of our own community, very vulnerable members of the community, and not targeted exactly against the people in power that were making decisions that were responsible for this fallout and just the misplaced pain and leaning into critique over curiosity. And this action just blew my mind. I was at a space where it was like, how did we get to a point where we couldn't have a conversation where we were actively engaging in re-traumatizing each other with very, very serious harm? And that sent me on a bit of a dark spiral of sorts that led me to seek guidance, to have so many discussions, to get off screens and ask questions, be vulnerable, and trying to work out a way for even myself to keep moving, to then share with my community so that we could keep talking and hope that we could get to a space where we could have compassionate calls and conversations that didn't end up back here again.
Yep. Yeah, look, absolutely. It's trying to move forward. But I was also struck by your comment about to move forward, we had to go back. You've touched on, you know, going back to when you transitioned, you know, sort of, what was it, 17 years ago, late teens.
Yep.
But the idea that struck me here is there is some degree of pain that gets buried underneath the, what I call the visible journey, the what gender identity are we, where does it fit on the gender kaleidoscope, what's our gender expression, what's our sexual orientation, what sort of body do we want, perhaps almost superficial things like what clothes are our style when we have to start our authentic gender, all these things. And I call this the topsoil effect. You know, we've got those things, the topsoil, okay, we sort of dig those away. Oh, my gosh, there's a few layers of, igneous rock underneath. What have you worked out at this point, to the best of your ability, was the igneous rock that was right at the bottom of your pain?
For me, I would say abandonment wounds. For myself, and I do believe that a lot of my hypervigilance, a lot of my trans expression in the beginning, a lot of my vocalness, openness, and bravado at points stemmed back from my abandonment wounds. My lived experience of transition, there wasn't any visibility at times within the circles I was. I was the first trans person that I knew that was around. My first visual representation was from the you know, infamous L word many, many, many moons ago, the points, and I did not have access to trans people in my life and the demographic in the area that I was. Assimilation or death was my choice. My representation of hypermasculinity, my pursuit of it all of those years ago was a safety mechanism wrapped up in an abandonment wound. And I don't say that from a point of distance or pity, but more from a point of reclamation, because that's where it was. And that informed a lot of how I operated in the world as a trans person and where I put my energies and what was important to me. My transness was very hidden at points. I was a very young person that discovered queerness, discovered transness in the nightclubs with the fake IDs, hidden away from running from rural communities into the cities and into substance and into joy, because that was the space there on the dance floor where I didn't have to hide. I could just be me, and that the community building there, or the way that that space felt, was that I was going to be held and I was going to be accepted as I was, and I was able to start easing those abandoned wounds long before I had the language to understand that that's what they actually were.
Amazing. Yeah, you led just at the end there brilliantly with some degree of trans telepathy into what I was going to ask. How did you move through it? What you know, that's obviously one thing. You found a space where you could be held, which we all need, every human. But what else began to help you start moving beyond that abandonment wound to, I'll say, a more grounded, authentic, balanced, you know, all those sorts of words, space that where you found a greater degree of, I'll say, inner peace and all those sorts of things.
Yeah. And this, I guess this leads us into the journey of my work today. Yeah. And so I'm the founder of T-Generation Gyms, a trans and queer-centered movement space out in Coburg in Northern Nam. And for me, at the very beginning, especially with my transition, I had a very strong disconnect with my body. It felt like it was separated from me. It wasn't a part of me. It was something that was given to me without my own choosing, and it did not align to the trans expression that was affirming to me. I grew up with sport, family sport, until my, you know, butch expression at the time, and the fact that as an AFAB body, I was pushed out a lot of the sport with the boys, football sports. I didn't have a somatic connection to myself. I did not have a body connection to myself. And there was my experience in being kicked out of a gym within the first year of my transition, as I was trying to reclaim that sense of affirmation within myself, spurred, maybe out of spite, maybe out of strong sense of justice, spurred my pursuit into following this grounded practice, because there was something really powerful about bad brain day, lift heavy circle, good brain day. There is. Yep. And I have not been, you know, I've tried to disprove it left, right, and center for the past almost 15 years of my professional career. But in a world of constant uncertainty, constant change at the point of like HRT, my transitional journey, there was no certainty. The 20 kilo barbell was always going to be a 20 kilo barbell. And every time I did a movement session, a training session, I never felt worse. And at that time, I think at this point I was maybe about 20, 2021 at this point. That was groundbreaking to me. That was nobody could take that away from me, because it was my hands on the bar right there processing. That was the first accessible, not therapy. Exercise is not therapy. I want to be very, very clear here. Therapeutic. It was therapeutic for me that allowed me to process all of this pain, all of this rage, because it was it used to be so humbling. I couldn't, there were times when I could not get out of bed, could not move on the couch, but this practice became restorative. It connected me to my strength. It helped me build capacity in real time. And, you know, the horrors of the world persist, but it allowed me to persist as well.
Yeah, look, feels, and look, I, the thing about live radio is sometimes things connect, so I'm just going to have to do a head clear.
Mm.
Same thing here, 2018 took up swimming, and I thank Nouveau Zidane for their book, Finding Nouveau, where they said, you know, people often exercise for, you know, wanting to, you know, slim, tone up or slim down or whatever, but why don't we exercise to be happy? And that's where swimming came in for me. And then in more recent times, the bizarre world, and the moment of levity at nearly 27 minutes to one, the wrestling reference comes in, the taking up professional wrestling.
I want to hear more about that.
Going to a gym, which I didn't like gyms because it sounds silly, but they smelled. They're full of sweat and, you know, the sweat off the rubber and all that thing. And I have a strong sense of smell. But it was resonating so much is what I wanted to say as you were speaking. You know, I'm sitting there going, hello. and I think I've managed to get through or burrow through layers myself in the last few years. Same thing, abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Also at the bottom of it for me was not understanding how high I was on the autism and ADHD scales. And that sort of, well, benignly dynamited through layers of igneous rock. if there is another layer of igneous rock, and I'm sure there is somewhere, well, I don't know where it is yet, but I'm not looking for it either. So bottom line is I feels you. So you, and I love what you said that the exercise was therapeutic but not therapy. And I think this is this whole thing of holisticness. So such, you know, so much richness in your conversation. So now, you know, you've come to a point where you're moving forward in yourself. And there's so many things, you know, you said in your post, it calls for self-leadership, fierce and grounded was one thing that leapt out to me, you know, sort of, and also this, you know, I really loved what you said, the difference between adaptive hypervigilance, which protects one from real world threats, and yep, they're out there, as we all know.
We're not discounting them.
Misdirected hypervigilance, which ripples out over everyone around you, which takes its form in dumping your own trauma on people unfairly.
We can link this to the concept of lateral violence.
Lateral violence, telepathy, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lose our allies to some extent and we hand our power to the systems we're fighting. So now you've had this. Well, the word that comes to mind for me, correct me if it's not the best, reframing.
Good word.
Is like now how first are you able to take your moving forward and how can we, you, me, other people listening start spreading that around so we can strengthen our communities? And there's, we all know the things that need strengthening. I mean, some people will say, well, if you need therapy and you are struggling financially and poor, how do we start getting more funding for therapy? But the other thing that sticks in my head as a long-time, tongue-in-cheek, dry humour, long-suffering advocate, the thought that struck me in the last 24 hours because of a few conversations is we need a national trans organisation in so-called Australia. And I give full credit to people with variation of sex characteristics. They got in 13 years ago, give or take, and formed a national body. And whilst, and at least it makes sure that, you know, people have to say, well, if you want intersex specific views, you've got to go there. We don't have that for the transgender, diverse, non-binary communities. So there's a couple of implications, but what are the implications? How then with this approach that you've taken of being more grounded, etc., can we start building our community and strengthening? And then they are tools to fight back against the lateral hostility, the fact that we, that I'm just going to call this at times cis gays and cis lesbians, as well as the the usual culprits of the gender criticals, elements of religion, elements of politics, elements of media, who seem to be over time the powers that attack us as trans people and they attack others. How then can we then start reasserting ourselves proactively? given what the foundation that you're coming from, how can we then do more of this as a trans, I'll say, communities? Long-winded question.
Yeah, no. Great question. And I'm going to answer this from the lens of what I decided to do with this.
Yeah.
Because everyone's journey is individual.
Beautiful.
There is no one straight road. There are so many routes to get to the, as I said in that post, the Star Trek future that we're all dreaming of. And I encourage folks to generalize things as much as they can and take what they will. And take which parts that work for them. I know for me, at around this particular point, around the Grim Reaper piece, I was hitting a very, very big existential crisis of sorts of how can I get through this when it is, or, you know, myself, how can I help lead the TGN community at points through this? And for me, I found that my hypervigilance was so high, I was getting triggered on a multiple times of day basis. Mm-hmm. I was feeling my nervous system absolutely through the roof. My window of tolerance was very, very small at the time. And with just a lot of the community work, my capacity was relatively quite low.
Mm-hmm.
And what came through massively for me was that I had to follow my triggers. I needed to understand why I was so affected by whether it was, you know, beautiful constructive criticism that I was taking on as critiques and attacks. With a bit of time and space, I was able to separate those two massively. So by creating windows and pockets of safety to be triggered again safely, again and again and again and again, and almost not exposure therapy, as you will, and I'm saying do this with trusted people, respected professionals, those that have the skill sets in this case, not necessarily just saying leaning straight into Western therapeutic models, but spaces where we can be witnessed in our shame, in our questioning, in our humanness, and people do not leave. And I am very grateful that with other trans folks, with a lot of staunch straight allies outside of community, actually holding and supporting and giving me space and time to be a human being and witnessing off a screen in real world systems that there is support, there is power, and finding and collecting that evidence. So I chose to not sit there and go, nope, this is what it is. It's always going to be just this doom, gloom, darkness, constant fight. No, I had to go and find challenges to that narrative. And that's what I did. And that's what I continue to do. And there is, like, we're human beings. Let's not lie. Let's not bullshit here.
Yeah.
Please tell me if I'm not allowed to cuss at any point, because I do have a mouth like
mild.
A trucker at times. But this is not a one-and-done approach. We have, especially as trans people, we have deep-seated years of trauma that seeps into our bones. And denying that and pushing it to the side isn't going to help anyone. We need to hold it up in the light and cross-examine it with the people that we trust and work out where it intersects and creates our own internal narratives of learnt helplessness, or where we can alchemize that into creating and building communities with each other as a relay race, because not one person is an island. We can't do this ourselves. Sometimes I will hold the baton. Sally, sometimes you've got to hold the baton, and we each takes turns to rest, but we have to delve deep and critically analyze and critically think about what are these ruptures within us and where are they coming from and who is it actually. And we start to see that, and we start to depersonalize that every individual human being is still a 5 or 6 year old child that is living by the narratives of their own upbringing, their own shame cycles, their own avoidance. And it helps bring this compassion and grace that I believe that trans people are on the front line of, as we are on the front lines of almost every corner of social justice in this world, embedment of this world, that by heavily reflecting and critically analyzing, we can start to quell the storm within, so that we are the permission piece for others to then put down their swords as well and come with us.
Wow.
And take a breath.
Yeah, I really need to take a breath there. So what I'm going to do and just regroup myself a little, not I'm not horrifically needing to regroup or anything. I think that just seems to be somewhere where I need a pause. I'm just going to do a couple of quick messages and then resume my conversation with Sam Dengate for this special on 3CR, which is being rebroadcast on Trans Day of Audibility. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
LGBTIQA plus people, that's come from a large history of people standing up and acting up for our rights and our communities.
Talking queer Pacifica, talking about us.
You know, this very like violent act of like hatred and bigotry towards trans people, where they demonise the image of trans people, especially trans women.
For working class queers, for queers of colour, for those who are poor and homeless, the struggle is continuing.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
Trans Day of Audibility returns to 3CR for its fifth year running. 8 hours of wall-to-wall transgender programming, featuring live music, lived experiences, and dispatches from the front line in the war against reaction. Tune in from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 31st of March. 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM, 3cr.org.au, 3CR Digital.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one Sunday afternoon, and this show also being rebroadcast on Trans Day of Audibility. Sally Goldner here with Sam Dengate talking about the war against reaction and how we find peace against reaction as well, which is so important. Now, just a quick message to recurring awesome listeners, because 3CR doesn't have regular ones. You've sent in a few messages about some current issues. I'm just wanting to hold those. I'm going to catch up on them in future weeks, but I'm going to try to weave them in to our conversation here just towards the end of the program on how we deal with some of the stuff that's going around in the media, sport, guides, and also poor reporting by emotive reporting by a major media outlet. They might be some things that Sam and I can discuss. But Sam, in the meantime, you had some practical thoughts about what people can do to start, getting towards that Star Trek sort of thing that would be the ideal. Go for it.
Trans, queer, neurodiverse, and enjoy Star Trek. Geez, don't tell me that's not a thing somewhere.
Yes, I'd like to see the intersectional Venn diagram of that and see just how close the circles are.
If someone could please get on that would be great. The visual would be glorious. practical examples, and this is what I've pulled from learnings for the past 13 years as a movement professional, and the last 5 years of brick and mortar in our TGen space within the gym. And the first thing to be very, very clear about is not every tool, not every piece of practicality is accessible for every single human being. Decide what works for you. There is no wrong and right in this space. You could pick one tool, you could pick an amalgamation of them all. It just needs to affirm and ground you, whatever that means for you. I know, as I said for myself, Start Lit First is a movement practice. That is not saying anyone has to go straight into the gym. That could be a dance party in your living room, that nightclub. That could be a restorative yoga session. That could be flipping tires and throwing tins around or barbells around. That's my personal favorite. Or, your wrestling practice, Sally. Like, that all counts. A movement practice of sorts, so we can energetically, somatically move the tension, the energetic buildup within our body. I'm in a sweeping general statement way, I have faith that everybody has a connection or an understanding of what I'm talking about there.
Yeah,
that energetic block that leads to executive dysfunction, that leads to that paralysis at points. We need a practice that helps us to move, because motion creates emotion. When we want to shift a state, we need to start moving. Secondly, grounding practices that I very much enjoy is forced non-screen time and that separation from the attention economy, because the visibility tax, the dopamine tax, these systems are, these infrastructures, technology is designed to disconnect you from yourself, your own sovereignty, your own agency. And as someone that definitely developed a dopamine dependence on a screen during lockdowns, I still struggle at times, because love a doom scroll, but we got to keep it in check. That means we still need a responsibility to stay informed, but we need to be intentional about it. Getting off the screens, definitely being with other people, having conversations in person with other people, sharing presence, and whether it's outside, whether it's in your safer spaces, each other's house, building those communities, small, large. The people that you intersect with in your lives, not so much as the parasocial relationships, but the in-person relationships, try and pull your people together as best as you can. I'm a big fan of grounding, like getting the grounding practice of like getting your feet into actual grass, into sand, into nature. And if you are living in suburban cities, trying to find those parks, trying to find those patches of greenery to stop and be. And as a ADHD human, that is quite difficult. I personally like to use, whether it's guided meditations or bits of music or something, to help at that point. And like, these are long-term historical practices that have come from all over the world that we can lean into, that have been around for a very, very long time for a very good reason. And a newer modality that I've probably spent more time in the last 18 months of sorts is various natures of breathwork, which, however, a caveat here, folks with would need to have a chat to their allied health professionals, especially folks within the trauma spaces, because some of the energetic signals that can come up during breathwork can replicate at times elements of what feels like trauma responses within the body. I am not a mental health professional, so please ensure that you check with all of your support teams as you need to. And the last piece with this would be doing what you can to find what joy means to you. For example, I went and saw the trans comedian, shout out to Chris, the other night as part of the comedy festival, and just having a laugh within the room of community about trans experience and reclaiming some of our lols was very restorative for me.
Well, yeah, look, a few things there. Bounce off that. I did get to see my guest from last week, Jesse Ryan, in All Guts, No Glory, which was very powerful. I also got to see a fabulous comic, Sonny Youngsmith, in a very funny show called Cabin Pressure, which, let's say, was based on the situation of a flight attendant in a budget airline. And we do not know, because Sonny will not say whether these are based on true stories or not, but I think it says a lot. And yeah, look, so much. And the other thing I wanted to say, you know, accessible, I mean, you know, look, you know, we acknowledge that, of course, there are people with physical disabilities. Mm-hmm. They may not be able to exercise as much or in the same ways as people who do not have them, or other things being equal, varying degrees, etc. But, you know, as much as possible, you know, even if you're not exercising at the moment, you walk 10 metres down the street and back, you start moving, that's 10 metres more than you did yesterday or something like that.
Even up or down your hallway counts. Yeah. Just move whatever way that is accessible for you.
Yep. All those sorts of things I think are so important. And I have to say, when I was going through really deep mental health poo in the last couple of years, my therapist said, you're lying in bed at the moment, can you just at least lift one arm up? That sort of thing. Yep. Again, acknowledging different degrees of ability/disability.
Absolutely. Full transparency. Like, there are absolutely points, and I start probably most days at the moment, I have to start with tapping my foot or wiggling my leg or just starting to move while I'm lying down, because, yeah, as a trans person, 2026, the thought of getting out of bed sometimes is hard. And we don't want to invalidate that at all.
Mm.
But I believe that we have the capacity, the capability and the compassion to hold the duality of both.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some people would say, oh, you can just power through, get up. And I think that's a bit bullshitty. I've begun to listen to my body and saying, does it really want to get up at the moment, or is it just my mind? And it's like, no, my body's not quite ready in another 5 minutes. Yeah, okay, now I can start moving. And I go to the bathroom and I have a shower and I take the various medications that I need to take and gradually the day, you know, moves up through the gears, so to speak. So we need to be able to, I really love your holistic approach, which, as you say, is based on mountains of experience of humans since we formed 100,000 or so years ago, or whatever it is.
And I think there's a really important point about at which stage folks access different tools. My own lived experience meant that I accessed, because of my upbringing, any sort of therapeutic or mental health discussion or emotional vulnerability was shamed. It was banished. That was not accessible. It was not safe. And it was pushed away within my families growing up. So physical movement was the first tool that I had access to for emotional processing. Later on came of my own volition and through brilliant peoples and loved ones within, you know, my personal communities helped give me access to talk therapy and to professional therapy in that space. And then now, a few years ago now, moving into more somatic based and body movement stuff to reclaim, especially as a neurodivergent person, our interoception, which is our ability to understand what's actually going on with our body, at times can be disconnected. It very much was so for me. And for me, I know that my brain lies to me sometimes, and trying to find a way through that, how to balance the signals versus sometimes data for me, and finding that through road required a lot of trial and error and just a lot of belief that I'll get there, we'll get there, and keeping myself in the environments that allowed me to keep replenishing that was extremely important.
Yep. We're just about out of time, unfortunately. I mean,
we could go for hours.
There's so much. Yes, we could. But Freedom of Species are coming in next to talk all things animal advocacy, and they have a corker of a show today. They're going to talk about Food Not Bombs and pay tribute to Chris Rust. If you are listening live today. On the Sunday, that is. And, of course, you can check out Freedom of Species on 3CR's website. If you're listening on the Sunday, it's Rotations at 2, Madison and Team with Queering the Air at 3, Salaam Radio Show at 4. Once again, as this show goes to air first on 29 March 2026, the 31st of March, Trans Day of Audibility, on the same day as Trans Day of Visibility. And I think that this ties into the theme that once we feel more grounded, more safe, we are in, as each individual, can choose the visibility we want and then help other, guide other people, help can be a bit of a patronising word, to the visibility that they ultimately want. So somehow it all makes sense. there's, as I say, there's so much we could talk about. I want to acknowledge awesome listeners, Wombat and Jenny, who have come up with a few issues that the issues that they've mentioned, I'll do this very, very quickly and then we'll have to go. Wombat, who is heavily involved in scouts and guides, wants to talk about, mentioned that the UK has unfortunately become transphobic in its policy on guides. Jenny has, mentioned the sports ban. And a few weeks ago, Roving Reporter spoke about, I don't want to mention the media, a known culprit who's trying to run on an issue of a trans person in custody, I think is all I want to say at this time in the show. I want to go into those issues in more detail in a later show, but, when we have to face this stuff, I can understand on the last one, because that one is incredible. All of these can be emotive to some degree. How do we as trans people tackle this? Do we talk to the media who are trying to beat up on it from the grounded approach? How then can we do advocacy for ourselves on all of this and turn back the tide and then get proactively to the issues we want? Is, I think, the last note I'll leave on before we finish up.
Mm. I think we need to continue to keep having conversations with our allies in our community sporting groups at this local grassroots level to keep building. And there are a lot of the queer and genderverse sporting groups sending in submissions now. I myself am still getting on top of all the news, especially with the the Olympics all of the rulings and pieces there, as I spend a lot of time in the sports advocacy space. It is right now, it's very, very disheartening, but what I've at least found already is to take some solace in this has been tried before and it has been ripped apart in the past. Uh-huh. We have beaten this before and we can beat it again. And this is what I mean by going back to our history and seeing what has been tried in the past and where we have won to build our collective restorations and our fight to keep pushing forward.
I think that's a nice note to finish on. Sam Dengate, infinite thank yous for your wisdom and depth. This show was everything I hoped it would be, and it's 950 different editions of Out of the Pan. This is way up there in my top 1%. Thank you for your wisdom. Keep growing it. I hope that people listening have found strength in it as well. Better get out of here. As I say, make way for Freedom Species. Take it out today with a bit of Talk Talk, and appropriately the song Talk Talk, because that's what we do. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Thanks to once again to Sam Dengate. And I'm going to start saying, I'm Sally Goldner. Stay difficult and stay happy. Catch you next week.
See you later.
PR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.